Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks. Let's dive right into a discussion of the God who is infinite. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon is praying to the Lord concerning the newly completed first temple in the city of Jerusalem. And this is what he says in verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Now, in this dedicatory prayer, Solomon acknowledges a facet of Yahweh's character, the Lord's character, God's nature. Solomon acknowledges that God is infinite, meaning he cannot be contained. Let me read that again with that thought in mind, that God is uncontainable, that God is infinite. 1 Kings 8:27 says it. This is what it says again. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Solomon is referencing God's infinitude, and he does so by mentioning three insufficient containers. The first one, the earth can't contain him. Second, the heavens, indeed, the heaven of heavens can't contain him. The double emphasis here implies the immensity of heaven. That's the Hebrew language uses double emphasis to talk about, in some cases, to talk about the massive scale of a particular object, either plural or double emphasis. So when he says the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, he's talking about the immensity of heaven, that heaven in it, at its most immense consideration, cannot contain you, Yahweh. So the first container that is insufficient is the earth. The second is the heaven, yea, the heaven of heavens. The third, Solomon says, much less the temple that we've just built in Jerusalem, or to use Solomon's exact terminology as it's translated in the King James, this house that I have builded thee, that's terribly insufficient to contain you. This is Solomon's testimony to the limitlessness of God. And at another place, it says, Solomon actually says, the only thing that this temple is good at, when we say we're building a house for the Lord, it's really a place where we can come and sacrifice to him. It's a place where we can come and meet with him. But God is way too big for this to be his house. So what does it mean that God is infinite? Well, it means a few things. And let's look at them. Number one, first of all, it means that God is immeasurable and limitless as it applies to physical space. As we go through this, you'll see, in fact, we've already done this particular one, but you'll see that this is closely linked to God's eternality and his omnipresence, which we will discuss later. And it's important on occasion when you're looking at the nature of God, talking about these things, that you remember that none of God's attributes are separate from his other attributes. So there are some things, maybe we could say they overlap a little bit. But when we're talking about God's limitlessness, immediately his eternality is going to come into mind. His omnipresence will come into mind. So number one, God is limitless as it applies to physical space. Number two, God's infinitude also applies to not just space, but time as well. So when we speak about God's infinity as it applies to time, we talked about space a little bit, and we'll read some passages of scripture that will illustrate these things, scripture talking about it. So when we speak about God's infinity as it applies to time, the term that's best used is God's enduring, which is similar to his eternality. But it's a little bit different. It gives us a tool to talk about something a little bit different, something that we've discussed previously. His eternality talks about him being outside of time and space, and the word is everlasting, so you can hear the same concept of enduring, but it gives us a different tool. We'll touch on this in just a little bit. We'll hear about his truth that shall endure to all generations. So it's not just something that's outside of time. It's something that works inside of time, which gets into other attributes that we've already discussed, that God is above all, through all, and in you all. It's his immanence. So none of these are separate. The third way that we talk about God's infinitude or his infinity speaks of his perfection. And the reason it speaks of his perfection is because to have limits or to be finite is to be imperfect, and God is without limits. God is infinite. So if being limited implies imperfection, we understand that God, he is, when we talk about God's infinitude or his infinity, meaning he has no limits, this implies his perfection. So a discussion of God's perfection cannot be disconnected from a discussion of his infinity. And finally, God's, when we talk about God being infinite, we are speaking about the limitlessness of his essence, meaning all the other characteristics of his nature are infinite as well. Thank God he is infinitely merciful. We'll talk about his mercy later. Thank God that he is infinitely good. We'll talk about his goodness later. His omnipresence, his holiness, all of these attributes, whether communicable or incommunicable, natural or moral, all of them are infinite. Okay, let's read some scriptures about God being infinite, God the infinite. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24 say this, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places?" Listen, this is talking about God's limitlessness in space. "Can any hide himself?" He's talking about a man. "Can a man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" He's talking about his limitlessness in space. You're not going to be able to go anywhere and get away from him. He fills heaven and earth. There's no place where he is limited. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 27 says this, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth." Notice what it says. He says, "I am not contained." He says, "I dwell." This is Paul talking to the men at Mars Hill. He says that God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. There's no container for God. There's no, he's infinite. He's not contained there. "He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything." That's, he's talking about God's infinitude. "Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Listen to verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him," here it is, "though he be not far from every one of us." So you can tell, you can see the connection to his omnipresence, but it gives us, to describe him as infinite gives us a different tool. He's not contained in a temple, and yet he's everywhere with us. He's not limited. Anywhere that we are, he is not limited. He's there with us. Continue reading Psalm 90 from the Old Testament, Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place," notice this, "in all generations." Again, there's a connection to his eternality, but this is speaking to his endurance. "Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So this is speaking to his eternality and his infinity. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter speaks to the fact that God is not bound by time. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Think about that. God is not limited by days or years. God doesn't think in terms of time limitations. God does not operate in terms of time limitations. One day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Finally, our opening text, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded," Solomon said. Now, there's much more to consider as it pertains to the limitless nature of God, God's infinitude. But let's wrap up with this. Here are two very important passages that demonstrate God's infinite nature. But not just that his nature is infinite, but that it is relatable to us in its infinitude. In his infinite nature, he's related to us. Even in our finite state, he has a way of communicating his infinite nature to us. It's part of how God relates to human beings in general, and particularly to his children. Listen to Psalm 139. This is a prayer that the psalm writer David, we'll get to this in just a moment, that the psalm writer David is talking about. In Psalm 139, he's talking about the infinite nature of God. It's part of a prayer. Listen to what he says. Verse 7 is where we'll pick up. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Similar, he says in Psalm 100, verses 4 through 5, the psalm writer says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That enduring, that's talking about God's infinite nature. It's not limited. It endures. It's not subject to time. It's not subject to space. It's not subject to generation. There's not a generational limit to this. His truth will endure to all generations. I thank God that he's infinite. I thank God that there's no limits to him. He can do whatever he wants and has all power and all capability, but I'm thankful that he can communicate that to us. His truth endureth to all generations. I'm thankful that God's infinite. God bless you. We'll see you next time.